Good morning to each one of you this morning. I just look back at my writing there, and if I would do something that crooked at work, I'd replace it. But this morning, I'm going to leave it like that. And excuse the poor handwriting. Greetings to each one of you this morning. It is a blessing to be gathered again together in this way this morning. To hear again the Word of God and to be encouraged and to encourage one another in this life. I'd like to share with you a message this morning that has been on my heart for the past couple weeks. I've been considering this message, but in the past this is something that stood out in the Word of God to me as a young Christian. I'm still a young Christian, but I'd say 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, God showed me gave me a glimpse into His heart in the Old Testament as I read through the Old Testament, a glimpse into the heart of God that He wants a people, a holy people. And Alan shared with us here 2 or 3 weeks ago, I forget the exact title. I think he actually asked us in some ways to give a title to the message he gave. And I guess the way that it stood out to me was God's desire or God's passion or pursuit of a people. And we see through all times that God had a desire for a people, a holy people, a people that was set apart for His glory. And today, as we have come, as we have been called out of this world of darkness, we've been called to be that holy people. And this morning, I would just like to take a couple brief looks at a couple pictures that God gives us of holiness and His desire for us this morning. In Isaiah, we have a very familiar verse that many times we turn to or many times we think about when we think about holiness. In Isaiah chapter 6, just reading one verse, Isaiah 6 verse 3. It's the scene here of Isaiah. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, and as he must have went into a trance or some sort of a dream, it says, as he went into this dream, he seen the Lord high and lifted up. And he sees this picture of something that is beyond his comprehension. And in verse 3, he's talking about, and in verse 3, the part of his image that he sees and he writes down for us to consider, the angel, it must have been the angels, or in Revelations we have the beasts that are crying, holy, holy. But here it says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. So we have our God, our Father, whatever we want to call Him, in heaven. He is a holy God, and He is a holy. There is nothing from His being that is impure. Anything, He has never sinned. There is nothing impure about Him. And they cry, holy, 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 before Him. And it says in Revelations, I think I wrote that. It's somewhere in the first six chapters. Revelations 4, verse 8. The beasts are crying. It says they're crying holy, holy before Him, day and night. They're worshiping Him in that way. In Leviticus, to further this, this is God. This is our God. This is our Redeemer. He is there. He is in heaven. And He is holy. And so ought we to be holy. We'll get to that later before I get ahead of myself. In Leviticus 11:45, we've been reading through Leviticus here for quite some time. And we have a picture here. We see here as God is calling the children of Israel out, and He's giving them commandments, He's giving them laws to abide by, He's giving them the law, and He's giving them things to do and not to do, and He says, and He's asking them to put aside some things and to take on other things. And in 11:45 it says, I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. We have a picture. We have another glimpse into the heart of God. He says, be ye holy in 1 Peter, and we'll get that later. For I am holy. In Leviticus, that verse comes from this verse here in Leviticus, assuming by how we read it. It says, jumping over to 1 Peter chapter 1, reading verses 15 and 16. I just rather quickly moving through this. It says, but as he which has called you is holy, as he which has called you is holy. So we've seen the picture of what the angels or the beasts in heaven, what they've seen. We have that picture in the back of our mind. We can remember that they said, holy, holy, holy. And it says in verse 15 in 1 Peter, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So now the burden, now the thing that God has through all ages wanted a people, a holy people, a people that is peculiar. We could jump over to chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I'll just share with you briefly here this morning. This message has been burning on my heart because of a great need that I have been seeing in the last week. You know, daily we go out and we go to the job and we do our work, and more I speak with the homeowners and the people that we're doing work for. And just recently we worked for a man. We've done a quite a big job for him, and we've been working there for a couple weeks, and I've been talking with him and I go over things with him during the day. And you know, he's a man that he really brings out, he's the type of guy that can really bring out the worst or the best in a person. He's the type of guy, he's very intimidating, he's very foul person. He's a big guy. Every time I stand there, you couldn't see me if you'd be looking behind him. He's a big fella. But as I've been working there, I've been faced with a lot of stress in the last couple of weeks. And this verse keeps coming back to me. Be ye holy, for I am holy. In our conversation, no matter what he says, no matter what people do to us, are we holy in our conduct? Holy is a word, as I was thinking about it. So when we say holy, what do we mean by holy? When we say holy, to say it in my terms, as I was thinking about it, I found that holy is a word that encompasses, there's many words that are in the word holy. If you look up the word holy in the Greek, we find about five or six different words. It says clean, innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, and pure. And as I looked it up in the Webster's, the Webster's, just reading from my notes, the Webster's defines it as, here's what it defines it as, we call a man holy when his heart is conformed in some degree to the image of God and his life is regulated by his divine precepts. So the way that we see a holiness in a man is when we see the life of Christ, when we see the fruit of the Spirit, when we see the attributes of God, the attributes of the Spirit coming forth from him, we can say that is a man that is holy. And that is how we see holiness in God, is because we see the we see everything about God is holy. He's not only clean, He's pure. There's no sin. He's perfect. There's nothing evil. There's nothing that ever taints His image. Today we have been tainted. We are tainted. We walk through this world and we live in an unholy world. We don't make excuses. We live and we must live in victory. But we do come in contact, and at times we do fall. But is our life a life that is holy? Are we walking towards that life? Are we pursuing? Are we endeavoring with all of our heart to press in and to be holy? For He is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Is our words when we speak, to our fellow co-workers, when we speak to whoever it may be, are they holy words? Are they pure words? Are they words of without foolishness, without jesting, as the Bible talks about? Are we pure in heart? When we walk through this world, are we pure? You know, we're coming into a season when people undress. Are we pure? Are we pure in that time? Are we pure when we walk down the streets? Are we pure when we walk into stores? Are we pure? Is the life of Christ dwelling in us? Are we holy? Are we pursuing holiness? Are we modest in our conduct? Are we modest when we speak of ourselves? When we do a job and we do it well, and do we want to be noticed? Or can we let ourselves be? I could share an example just this past week of something that happened. And you know, it was a temptation to rise up and say, no, that was my idea. That was my thought to do that. And you never even thought about it. You just said it as you thought about it. But you know what? Are we holy? Can we lay down our own ideas, our own what we think should be honor for us, and to let others be honored? That is part of holiness as well. That is part of growing in holiness. And I say these things because, as you can hear, I've been struggling with some of these things. Some of these things are very real things to me every day. Some of these things are a challenge to relate in holiness. When you do something, you're done, you look at it and say, that's not good enough. It won't pass. Go up, take it down, replace it. You just wasted a couple hours. The frustration, or if somebody else did it, that you put on that job to do it, the frustration that rises within our hearts. Are we going to be holy? Are we going to be perfect in relating to that? The standard this morning is a standard that is very high. It is not a standard that is low. It's not a standard that we want to lower to where we can attain to it. We will not bring the standard down to here so we can reach it. We will raise the standard here so we continue to grow and press onward and upward and to seek that higher ground. You know, this morning, there's many, many things that each one of us faces. There's many things that I will not be able to talk about this morning. There's many things this morning that I'm not thinking of that you're thinking of. Some things that, you know, we face. Each one of us faces. But are we growing in that walk? Holiness is a distinct character. If you see someone that is holy, you will not mistake it for anything else. It is something that is so beautiful and so holy about that character. It's something that is so, it is refreshing to be around holy people. It is not mistaken for anything else. Sorry, I already went over that. In Hebrews 12, verse 14, this is a verse that I would say that 75% of the time when I open my Bible, for some reason it opens to Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So let's consider that for a moment. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So this morning, that verse is telling us that if we are not walking in holiness, if our life is not a holy life, when we come before the throne of God on that last day, He will say, I never knew you. Are we convinced this morning that holiness is a necessity? That holiness is something that we must pursue? How often do we bring dishonor or shame to the name of Christ by how we respond in a situation when unbelievers are looking at us? They know what we believe. They know what we often say that we believe. But how often are they looking at us in a tough situation and they see us fail? Then what? Is it just like my mom used to do on my papers at school when my answer to the question was wrong, she would just mark beside it. Is that what it is? Just a mark beside our name? Well, it may be that. It may be that. But it also brings shame to the name of Christ. So how do we walk? So how do we live? How do we speak? How do we conduct ourselves? How do we live? You know, life is busy. It's very busy. There's sometimes when you wonder, what is life all about? Is it just about, you know, being busy? But you know, it's reality. We are busy. Can we take? I guess the thought that came to me as I was considering this, you know, can I take a moment in the morning? One sure way to fail in not being holy during the day, one sure way that you will be unholy, is if you do not pray, if you do not seek the Lord before you leave in the morning. That is one sure way that it's a guarantee that you will fail. For me, unless I am different than anyone else. I have found that to be a tremendous way to go into the day. If you know that there's challenges that you're going to face that day, you know that there are certain things that you're going to face that day that are going to bring out who you really are, is to pray about them. To pray about the specific thing that you're going to face. You know, as we go forth, this is not a message that I want to be negative about. I don't want to bring this across in a negative, condemning manner, like, you know, that we go through this next week, you know, all, you know, just real careful. And yes, we need to be careful, but something that, you know, we go through the week all tensed up, you know, just, well, you know, let be careful, you know, what if I say something wrong? No. Let's not go through the week. You'll be miserable. But seek the Lord, and yes, be very careful. Be very careful how you respond. Think carefully about the words that you're saying. Think carefully. You know, the greatest inspiration that I find is when I think about, you know, it's not whether my brother is there looking at me. It's not whether my brother from church is right there beside me when I'm working and he sees how I respond. That's beautiful if that can be there too. But you know, for some of us, it's not that way. But you know what? We have a brother. We have Jesus Christ who calls us his brethren. He's in heaven and he's also looking down on you. And you know what? He's looking down on you and he's observing you, and he is more than willing, he is more than able to give you the power, to give you the strength to speak a word or to say something that will glorify you, glorify Him. And you know what? Another thing is, as you consider Him sitting there on His throne, whether He's beside the throne or on the throne, God is there too on the throne. But you know, as He looks down on you, and you consider that right now, this moment, what I'm saying may never be found out by my brother in church, my brothers, wherever they may be. It may never be known, it may never be seen. But our Father, which is in heaven, knows not only the word, not only the deed, but He knows the motive and the intent of the heart that word was said in, or the positive way that it was said in, not just the negative. He doesn't just know when you did not do something in the right way. He also knows when you did it. When you pleased Him, He knows that too. So be encouraged in that this morning, that He's not just there, you know, waiting for you to make a mistake. He's waiting there. He is glorified. He is well pleased. I think of when Stephen was being stoned for the name of Christ. It says that Jesus, He looked up, and that Jesus Christ was standing there and He was looking down. Okay, can we think about that this morning? When we are there, when we are being faced with circumstances, Jesus Christ is there. He's watching. He's waiting. He's listening. He observes. And He understands too. It says that He was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Holiness is a defining character. Men can see your life. Men see who you really are. Men see you when you respond in the holy way that Christ wants you to respond. Men can see what you say. What you say at times is also what you believe and practice. And that's the beautiful thing. When you can respond in a way, and even if you don't receive any glory, even if you don't receive any honor from it, respond kindly. Respond rightly. Purpose. Purpose in your heart. Purpose that you will, by God's grace, pursue holiness. That you will pursue, you will seek to find that power to give you that life. The life that is so much like our Lord Jesus. You know, as I think of Him this morning, I can think of nothing else more fitting for Him as He walked through this earth as a holy life. You know, we hear people say many things and many, many different things about Christ, and that, you know, you can make a case out of about everything. And they can say, you know, Jesus Christ, when He went into the temple, He destroyed, He took out the money changers, you know, He drove them out with a whip. And I really appreciated what we heard here at leadership. when I don't remember who it was that just brought out the point, but does that allow us to do those things? You know, I guess the point that I was wanting to make is that was done we like to say that, you know, we had righteous, you know, it was a righteous indignation that we had about that certain situation. Well, was it really? You know, was that really righteous indignation? I would say let's just be very careful before we tell ourselves that what we did was righteous indignation, because I say that 95% or greater, for me at least, it was not righteous when I think back on it. So let's be careful. Let's walk in holiness. Let's not make excuses when we see others, when we see somebody else do something. Say, well, okay, that gives us a little bit of an excuse. No, it doesn't. It does not excuse us. As the children of God, we have no excuse. We have no excuse to walk in any way other than in the way that He is glorified. So those are just a few thoughts that I had to share with you this morning. May we all be encouraged in them. And again, I will say that these are things that are very real. These are things that are they're everyday. Sometimes we have to make a choice every day. But I will say as well that I want to purpose in my heart, as I've been studying these for the last couple of days, to make it a beautiful thing in my life, to consider it, to let it motivate me to speak in ways that Christ is honored, to do things that Christ is glorified. And may you all be encouraged, and may you be... I just hope these words could be words of blessing and not of any sort of a I don't want to come across in a condemning way, because this morning I can honestly say that as I share these words, I have nobody that I feel like I am the one that this message was for. But I just appreciate the opportunity to study it and to bring it forth this morning to you all. May God bless you, and we look forward to the rest of the service.